Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next few minutes, I invite you to stay with me. It'll be about 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education. And it's all done without any type of manipulation because we're not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to hustle you. We're just here to give you some divine viewpoint, I call it. My job is to verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And your job, if you decide to take it, is orient and adjust to the plan. But as always, on the Flatline, we're here to give you accurate information. Not some type of human speculation, but accurate information. Information that will guide you and help you to understand your life and what's going on in your life, and maybe even help you understand your nation and what's going on in your nation. We live in the greatest nation in the world, in my opinion, the United States of America. And in my opinion, the greatness of this nation was established because of the standards that we followed God laid out many, many years ago. I do think some of those standards are being compromised, and I do think the greatness of this nation is being threatened. And I think we must consider these things and realize who we are and what God expects out of us. I'd like to start off by reading to you today. You know, normally we, on the Flatline, we deal with those 10 problem-solving devices and dealing with rebound, problem-solving device number one, then the filling of the Holy Spirit, problem-solving device number two, then the faith rest drill, and then doctrinal orientation and grace orientation and a personal sense of destiny, and dealing with personal love for God, impersonal love for others, sharing the happiness of God, and then occupation with Christ. These are all problem-solving devices we've taught, and we have all of these available on an MP3 if you'd like. All you got to do is write to us and say, I'd like the MP3 with all the problem-solving device messages on it. We'll send it to you. You can contact us by going to rickhughesministries.org on the internet, or you can send us a letter at P.O. Box 100 in the city of Cropwell, Alabama. P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama. And don't send money. We're not asking for money. We're just saying if you'd like to have the information, then you can get it freely from us. I want to talk to you today about God's standards for a nation. Listen to Proverbs 1:25 through 33 as I read it to you. Here's what it says, "Because you refused all of my counsel, and you would have none of my rebuke," first of all, you refused it, "and you wouldn't listen to me, then I will laugh at you when your calamity comes. I will mock you when terror comes, when your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, they will call upon me, but I will not answer." In other words, people will be asking God to deliver them, not asking God to forgive them for their sin. That's not what they're doing. They're asking God to deliver them from imminent danger. So calling upon Him is not the type of calling that we're talking about you need to do. "They will seek me diligently." In other words, they're looking for a deliverer. "They won't find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel, and they despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat their own fruit of their ways and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will cause them to be slayed, and the complacency of a fool will destroy him. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and be secure without fear of evil." Here is a divine rebuke to a nation such as America. I think we can draw an application from this Old Testament passage. I mean, God doesn't change. I mean, He's always immutable. He doesn't lie. He's absolute veracity. He doesn't change. Immutability, veracity, He never lies. So this can be applied to us. When we don't listen to His counsel, when we will have none of His rebuke, then we are setting ourselves up for disaster. Romans 13:13 says, "Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, not in drunkenness, not in lewdness, not in lust, not in strife, not in envy." These seem to be personality traits of most people today that I run into. I mean, due to social media and the internet, you can see so much of this out there everywhere. As a matter of fact, a lot of talk radio is built on strife and envy. A lot of TV shows are built on lewdness and lust. I mean, it's pitiful because that's what our country has turned to for entertainment. In Romans 13:13, this is a translation from a little Bible called God's Word Edition. That same verse says we should live decently as people who live in the light of day. Wild parties, drunkenness, sexual immorality, promiscuity, rivalry, and jealousy cannot be part of our lives. Instead, like the Lord Jesus Christ did, live like He did, and forget about satisfying the desires of your sinful nature. So there is a mandate from Paul to us of how we should live. So I got to ask you one question today on this radio show, and that question is, have you compromised your core values and adjusted to the culture of the day? Now, what are your core values? When I say that, what do I mean by that? Well, when you grew up, your parents taught you norms and standards. They taught you, for example, to brush your teeth, comb your hair, make your bed, pick up your mess, eat your food, clean the dishes, yada, 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 you know. And then the standards. This normally is taught by a pastor in a church, like the Ten Commandments. And you learn biblical standards. You learn things that guide you. These norms and standards, once they're in your conscience, are designed to protect you from yourself so that you don't self-destruct. And so it's the job of any parent to instill the core values or the norms and standards that will carry their son or daughter through life. When we compromise the core values in our life, and we instead adjust to the culture of the day so that we can be relevant or be accepted, then we, in essence, become a traitor to our own soul. So I'd like for you to ask yourself these questions, if you would, today. Do you accept the standards of society and modern culture today as being morally correct? And secondly, have you been convinced that sin is not sin? And that good is really evil? And this just seems to be the culture today, that the Bible is evil, and anything about the Bible is evil, but because it condemns certain sins as being destructive in a nation. There's so much attack upon the Bible today, you wouldn't believe it, even in schools and the military even. I just read an article where an Air Force officer was cited because he had an open Bible on his desk and someone complained and said it was offensive to them. And so he got in trouble for that. It looks like we're on track for a major disaster. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure this out. Unless you go put your head in the sand somewhere like an ostrich does, you won't see it. But many of our citizens are divided, and many of our cities are crime-infested. And many of our churches have substituted ritual for reality. Many of our highways are crowded with short-tempered drivers. Many of our marriages are failing. Lots and lots of finances are in question. And many, many children are hopeless and homeless in this country today. So if you take those things and add them up, you can see we're on track for a major disaster. Citizens divided, racial division, hatred among the races. Unbelievable. I mean, we integrated years ago, and yet there's still this racial hatred. Many of our cities are crime infested. There are places in my city that you best not go at night. You'll be shot. You'll be robbed. You'll be attacked. And not only my city, but in my travels around the country, such cities such as Houston and Atlanta and other major cities, there are complete parts of that city that police seldom even want to go into unless there's three or four units at a time. It's almost like a third world crime-infested country. As far as churches substituting ritual for reality, there seems to be less and less accurate Bible teaching and more praise and worship and all sorts of stuff to entertain people and get them to come. And highways crowded with short-tempered drivers? Well, I do drive a lot from place to place, and I have people almost run over me on every trip I go. They're in a hurry. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. If you ask them why, they'll say, well, I gotta get back. They will run you off the road. I mean, the speed limit's 70. If you're driving 75, which is a little over the speed limit, they will get behind you and tailgate you and blink their lights and blow their horn and go around you 90 miles an hour. Can't handle that. They hate you because you're slowing them down. Short-tempered drivers, short-tempered people. I bet you have been impacted by road rage and seen things like this. Marriages failing, falling apart. Many people that I know and you know can't hold a marriage together and they've fallen apart. Finances in question, well, you know what that means. You know, the dollar is not worth the dollar anymore. When I went to school, you could buy a gallon of gas for 27 cents a gallon. I know, it was a long time ago. Now it's $2.27 for a gallon of gas. I remember when I was in high school that the fastest sports car out there was less than $10,000. Now you can't even touch one for less than $100,000. I remember when some of the nicest homes were only $25,000 or $30,000, and now you can't get in a nice home unless you got $300,000, and it depends on where you are. One of my children rents a home in L.A. and involved in their business they work in out there, and it's $3,000 a month rent on a home just to live there. My goodness, finances are a disaster. The nation's in trouble. We can't keep going the way we're going. But I know. Someone says, I know, if we'll elect this person, that person will straighten everything out, and that person will get everybody back on the same page, and we'll all be in good shape. Well, that's what the last president promised, and that didn't happen. There's too much crime, too much murder, too much animosity among the races, and too much hope that some politician will deliver us from being torn apart internally. There are those people who seek to do exactly that, by the way, to tear apart America apart internally, radically change America from the inside, and they do it by promoting hatred and violence. It's a money-making machine for them. So God's Word has answers to all of these things. And here it is. In order for this nation or any nation to function peacefully and to prosper, and for the citizens to mesh and not clash, for families to remain strong, and for the foundation of the future, then these things must happen. Here's a plan. If churches are going to reach out across the world, if we're going to be stable and strong, it's called the divine institutions. There are four divine institutions. These were ordained by God in eternity past. They are God-designed institutions that must be allowed to function if we hope to remain free and prosperous, as well as safe and secure. The most subtle attack, I want to quote to you one of my pastors, a man who taught me so much. His name was Robert B. Thiem, Jr., and here's what he said. The most subtle attack on freedom originates in either the rejection of establishment or authority in the royal family of God. Under the laws of divine establishment, authority is defined as a legal power delegated by God, whereby certain members of the human race have jurisdiction and responsibility for others. Such areas of authority include the four divine institutions. Those four divine institutions represent authority. They are the concrete that holds this nation together. When we ignore the divine institutions, we guarantee a crack in our foundation. These institutions are revealed in Scripture in the Mosaic Law, and they allow for the human race to be perpetuated and eventually preserved. So, what's the first one? Well, the first one is free will or volition. God gave you free will, freedom to choose. He designed you to be free. You were given a volition, and your chooser, the volition inside of you, it's your chooser, it has authority, and it can make good decisions or it can make bad decisions. Good decisions, hopefully from a position of strength, that's from what God's Word says, and bad decisions from a position of weakness, that's what someone else may say. But human viewpoint versus divine viewpoint. So the danger to your volition is the arrogance of ignorance. Did you hear that? The arrogance of ignorance. It corrupts everything it comes in contact with. If you combine the arrogance of ignorance with the arrogance of power, and you will use that to destroy human freedom. And you will claim that the greater good justifies the end. That's what happens. People that are arrogant and ignorant of the divine institutions lust for power. They're arrogant about this. They want to be in power so they can fix things and they can claim the greater good justifies the end. So no telling what could happen. I call that artificial intelligence. Like, you know, you've seen movies about computers being artificial intelligence. Well, to me, AI, artificial intelligence, is nothing more than arrogance and ignorance. People don't want to know God's word. They're not interested in knowing God's word. They got a better deal. They got a better plan. And they buy into Satan's lie, hook, line, and sinker, because Satan uses strong delusion. And he will disable the thinking of many, many, many people. If he can get you to operate on your emotions and not think, then he's got you, because one of his ploys is to appeal to your emotions. Under arrogance, your very own volition will make a decision motivated by your emotions that will destroy any capacity you might have for happiness and any true value that you might have in your life. Arrogance is your number one enemy, because it's nothing more than self-justification and self-deception and self-absorption. And if you bow into arrogance, if you justify why you're right and God is wrong, if you justify why you don't have to do certain things, if you justify why it's okay to get into violence and try to overthrow the government, you are arrogantly deceived. And Satan is using strong delusion to appeal to your emotions. The choices that you make will determine the life that you live. So remember this, that everybody in this nation, from politicians to preachers, everybody has a sin nature. And nobody can legislate perfect justice and fairness for all people. Nobody. The only person who has perfect justice and perfect fairness is God Himself, since all of His justice is based on divine standards. As a matter of fact, we are told in the Bible not to judge one another. God does not look favorably on gossip and slander and maligning other people, since He's the only one that has all the facts. But if you refuse to take responsibility for your decisions, and you base that lack of responsibility on the arrogance of ignorance, then you become part of the problem, not part of the solution. So how exactly could you use your volition to not only better yourself, but to make your nation a better place? Well, I can tell you. Number one, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept Him as your Savior. Nobody can do that for you. Don't put it off and say, well, I'll do it later, because if I become a Christian, I can never have any more fun times. That's a lie. That's Satan's deception. I did not become a Christian until I was 22, and I never had as much fun as I have now that I'm a Christian. Being a believer in Jesus Christ and being free of guilt and shame is an amazing thing. Nobody can do that for you except Christ. And that's why it says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. You can become a new person today by simply bowing your head and saying, Father, I believe in Jesus Christ and I want to receive Him as my Savior. And boom, you enter into the family of God and you are a new person. You want to help your nation and yourself grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells you that. Why does the Bible say grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18? It's so that you can replace blind arrogance. And you can then begin to see things with divine viewpoint, seeing yourself as you really are, not what you think you are. And the third thing you can do is to support establishment principles, establishment concepts, like what we're going to talk about here. Don't try to clean up the devil's world. That's another thing you can do to better yourself and your nation. You're not going to clean up the devil's world. The devil doesn't want you cleaning up his world. So when you get it in your head that you need to go down and march against the liquor store, or go down and march against the adult bookstore, or march against this and that, you're just trying to clean up the devil's world. It won't work. people have sin natures, and people are no good. You got to remember that. You're no good. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you probably, and me for sure, would already be a greasy spot. Here's the last thought. Have you surrendered your freedom for security? Which is more important to you, to be free or to be secure? Because the government offers you security, but in order to enjoy it, you got to give up your freedom. So your volition is critical. As goes your volition, so goes your life. And you can reject these things. You can put them aside. You can say you got a better deal. But in the end, it's just like the verses that I read to you from the beginning. You refused my counsel, and you would have none of my rebuke, so don't come looking for me when disaster hits. The second divine institution is called marriage. In the garden, God instituted the first marriage by taking a rib of Adam and creating a perfect helpmate named Eve. In Genesis 2:21, the Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then in verse 22, the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken from me." God provided a helpmate for Adam. In essence, Jesus Christ himself performed the first marriage in the Garden of Eden when he brought that woman to that man. By creating that marriage of one man, one woman, he instituted what we know as monogamy. He didn't create three women, four women, five women, one woman. So marriage is the most basic and fundamental organization in the entire human race. Even an unbeliever who rejects the gospel can find happiness in marriage. But a lot of times marriages fail, and the reason is because people fail. The institution of marriage is still essential for order and function in a human nation, but people are going to fail. And more mistakes are made here than any other area due to emotions, because marriage demands being rational, not irrational. I mean, before you get married, you got to go through the attraction stage, the compatibility stage, and the rapport stage. And if you marry in the attraction stage, most time it won't work. Because love is motivation to communicate. It's a lifelong conversation that never runs out. It takes more energy for you to communicate than copulate, someone said once. So poems and one-liners are not the problem-solving devices in marriage. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I assure you, marriage is the most difficult, the most challenging, and the place of more failures than anything else in life. Because marriage is not about you finding the right person. Marriage is about you being the right person. And I can tell you, marriage rejects communal living. It rejects promiscuous, and provides a stable environment for children. Satanic attempt to hijack marriage goes on every day. Here's a question. Is it okay to live together and not marry? The answer is no. Is it okay in your mind to have premarital sex? The answer is no. If you think these two things demonstrate change in American culture, do you? Well, the answer is yes. I mean, it's going on all over America today, sure. So since we're a client nation of God, there's no wonder Satan wants to minimize our national impact. It's no wonder he wants to demonize America to the rest of the world, because after all, we're the ones who spread God's word through evangelism and through missionary activity. So why would he oppose that? Well, you better believe he does. The third divine institution is the family. It's God's institution for raising of children. Some families have children by nature, natural process, and some, well, they adopt them. But either way, it's the training ground for the rest of life. And therefore, in Ephesians 6:1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first mandate with a promise, that it will be well with you and you may live a long time on this earth. Longevity is related to authority orientation of your parents. If you don't orient to the authority of your parents, you'll be disoriented in life, and you will not orient to the authority of the police officer. You won't orient to the authority of the principal of the school or the coach. You'll be anti-authority, and that's your arrogance. Divine institution number four is nationalism. It's the authority of the government over the citizens of the state. Believe it or not, God ordained nationalism in the human race to protect it from self-destruction. Internationalism reached its peak of degeneracy under one language, one race, at the Tower of Babel. In Genesis 11, 1 through 19, you should read it. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. So God said, let's build ourselves a city. And let's make a tower whose top is in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So what did God do? He scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. And they ceased building their city, and the Lord confused the languages of all the earth and scattered them abroad. So you want to know how the Indians got here? You want to know how they got to be Chinese, how they got to be Japanese, how they got to be Koreans, how they got to be Americans, how they got to be Middle Easterners? God did it. Thus we learn that if the world was under one rule, it would self-destruct. And this is what Satan wants. He wants to control the world with one man, one person, called the Antichrist. So God set up exterior protection called the military, interior protection called law enforcement and police. God set up an economy based on free enterprise in the Bible. And that nation has freedom to evangelize, send out missionaries to the rest of the world. Those are the four divine institutions. The further we get away from those, the closer we get to destruction. Will we change? It doesn't depend on what politician you elect. It depends on who you are and what your attitude toward God's word is. I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. This is very critical for the future of your children and your grandchildren, because as goes their spiritual life, so goes their nation. Tune in next week, same time, same place. Until then, I'm your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.